In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Today we are celebrating Mothering Sundays. It was 17 centuries ago when the Roman Empire was Christianized under Constantine. The church had to compete with a pagan festival which was dedicated to the goddess Cybele on the Ides of March. Now, this is what the church has done over the early in the centuries, is because they were competing with pagan festivals, they would take those festivals and turn them into Christian celebrations. We were noted for that. The other thing they did is a lot of the churches that are in Europe were built on goddess sites. Chartres Cathedral still has a goddess well in the basement of its church. Just so a little information for you. That's what we do well. So the church, in competing with this festival, designated the fourth Sunday of Lent, Lateri Sunday, as a day that Lenten fast and regulations were lifted. Lateri means rejoice. So it gave those Christians an excuse to celebrate along with the pagans. They're no fools. So the vestments were changed to pink for celebration. And then the fourth Sunday of Lent was called Lateri Sunday and Mothering Sunday. It was on that Sunday that people were to return to their home church, the church where they were baptized. And Mary, the Mother of God, was honored for this day. On this day, later on, this day evolved in the 16th century to be called Mothering Sunday. It began because children in the poor families, where the families couldn't afford to take care of all their children, would send their children out to work in some of the richer homes. It was a way that they knew their children would be well cared for and have food and education. So the children were sent there, and they stayed and lived in those homes. But on the fourth Sunday of Lent, they were able to go home and visit their mother. And when they got to go home, they were able to take a dessert. And one of those desserts was a simnel cake. Now, again, love these traditions of our Christian background. Simnel is taken from the word simulus, which was a Roman festival bread eaten during the spring fertility rites. So again, we now have simnel cake for Mothering Sunday. So in adopting for Mothering Sunday, in order to make the cake Christian, they put 11 little balls around the top, almond paste, marzipan, for the 11 apostles. They did not include Judas on that cake. Can't imagine why. So this went on for a few centuries until after the First World War. At that time, Mothering Sunday kind of drifted off because children were no longer sent to homes to be servants. But instead, it did still continue to be honored in some of our Anglican communities. And the simnel cake for some became the Easter cake. So we still continue with our other Anglican family to have Mothering Sunday. So the worship today is taken from one of the Anglican services. So the words in that are the prayers that they will be saying today. We'll be saying those with others. And so what they did when they changed it from Mothering Sunday, they also had it become part of going home to our mother church. The church that feeds us, that nourishes us, that becomes a home to us, a place we can go home to. For many, it's really important to know that there's a place we can go, that we are cared for and loved. And I find it interesting that today the gospel reading is that of the son. The son who ran away with his father, gave him his money, Interesting about this son. In that time, the second son was only allowed about one-third of the inheritance. And it really was went against the grain for the son to ask for the money before his father died. It was against family tradition. It was against religious and social mores of the time. But the father, in his wisdom, gave the son his money and let him go. How often have we, at some point in our life, wanted to leave home? It was such a good feeling to be free until we realized that we needed something. Maybe it was a recipe. Maybe it was, how do we fix this? Sometimes it may have been, I need to know how to sort laundry. Whatever it was, we called home. And the first time we went back home after we left, I don't know about you, but there was a celebration. Parents would fix the best food. You'd be honored. I know I was the middle of seven, and my three older siblings, one went off to the Navy, one went off to the convent, one got married. And every time they returned, the rest of us, it was a big celebration that they came home. That's what this church is like. It's a place that we should come home to. Those who have left and have kind of went in the winds, to know that we're still here, we're still standing, and there's a place to come back to. The interesting thing about this father was, he ran to the son. He ran. In those days, men did not run. And so the fact that he ran to greet his son, he wanted to know. I'm sure he worried about his son. What was happening to him out there in the big world? How was he faring? And I'm sure he would have been totally dismayed to know that he was having to feed the pigs. Because he was Jewish. Pigs were unclean. So talk about the worst job in the world. That would be one of them. And yet that's what the son had to do for survival. And the son had to come to the point of realization. He had to humble himself, let go of ego, and say, I screwed up. I need to fix this. I have to tell my dad I'm sorry. And I have to go home. I have to return. It would be better home than what I'm doing now. And so for many of us, to have a father who, when in this humble child or young man who came back home, to be embraced and welcomed in such a wonderful way. And then the father who is so forgiving and so loving and celebrating. So then he's got two sons. So the other kid was mad. And rightfully so, if you think about it. You stay home, you work like a dog, and all of a sudden, the one that took off, took the money and spent it all, is now having a party. Have we ever been there, where we felt something was given to somebody unjustly? I don't know about you, but I certainly understand sibling rivalry. So this was a kid, but the father in his goodness understood that son also. And he didn't argue with the son. He just said, son, everything I have belongs to you. You, in other words, you are as important to me as your brother. I love you both. Sometimes we think there's not room to love more than one person at a time. But when we truly love, love is abundant. It doesn't narrow itself down into a focus of one. This is God's love for us. It's not a narrow love. It's not for those that are here and those that don't show up don't get the love. God loves each one of us. Yesterday we did a funeral. It wasn't a parishioner, but we got a call. Sarah, the gal that does our work here, her friend's mother died unexpectedly. They called several churches, and there was no no church available for them to have a funeral for their mother. So Sarah called me and said, is it possible? I said, absolutely. So we had the funeral. And I put out a call to the parishioners, can you help? We don't know the woman, we don't know the family, but can you help me put this funeral on? And people said yes. And yesterday we welcomed 84 strangers into our church. 84 who came. And what was sad is this was a family in pain. The mother's sister had died less than 6 months ago. Some in-law in the family had died. And the one young girl who said, thank you. And I said, are you okay? And she said, yes, but I also lost my cat a week ago. How many losses and how much pain. And yet we were here. We were here to give them a place to come together, to grieve and to be and to celebrate the life of their mother. And they told the story of her mother always tried to get the kids to go to church. Sorry she had to die to get them there, but they came. But think about it. Think about having a home to come to. This is what church is. It's a place to come home to. It's a place to celebrate births, and it's a place to celebrate marriages, and it's a place to celebrate death. It's about being family. So the question is, who are we in this story? Are we the Father with open arms who welcomes everyone, who allows us to make our mistakes and yet return home, to say we're sorry? Does he allow us to go and try and spread our wings and knowing sometimes we have to return? Are we the Son who decides we don't need to be home? There's a big world out there that we want to be part of, only to realize it's not what we thought it was. And we need more than just money and our independence. We need a family. We need a permanent home. We need a place to return to. Are we the older son with self-righteousness who says, I've been here. Why should we welcome all these people back? Why should we be a church? They don't put any money in the plate. Why should we welcome 84 strangers for one day? Why should I do any of it? So we have to look at who we are, or perhaps we're the observer, the one who comes to celebrate with the child that returned. We get to watch this love, this amazing love that God had for his children, for all of us. Sin is an alienation from others and God. Church is a place to come back, a place where we don't have to feel alienated, a place where we belong. It's home. So what binds us together is the grace and forgiveness of God. God sets us free. So no matter who we are, God is always waiting for us. And we're welcome. And we have a church that always welcomes those that return or those that need a place to come to. Yesterday, after we were down at the luncheon, the altar guild came to set up for today. And they said one person was in this church praying by himself. Church is a place that we can always find God. Not only in the building, but within every one of us that are here. That's what God is for. God is for us to share this abundant love, to have a place to come and share it together, but then once we get that grace, to take it out into the world. That's what this sermon is about. It's about just knowing how much God loves us.